Good afternoon. Welcome back. This is Midwest Beats, a program all about the arts, music, and the people who make it. And we've got a two-hour show today, so let's get to it. There's a great production at Theater at the Center, 1040 Ridge Road in Munster. Our good friend Linda Fortunato, I believe, is directing this one. We'll find out all the details about it from Todd Allworm. Todd Allworm is the lead in this. I guess you'd say you're the main guy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, very good. Well, we're going to play something from the UK cast right now, and then we're going to get back and we're going to hear some of Todd's cast members, and we're going to talk about this play and find out a little bit more about his region roots. So let's get to it. Dames at Sea.
I'm crazy about it too. We're in the pay of the USA, doing duties we're proud to do.
Oh, Captain, Captain.
What is it, sailor?
We have a complaint, sir.
Yeah. Oh.
We're crazy about the Navy.
I'm crazy about it too.
From stern to bow, our ships are wild.
I fully agree with you.
But sir, the nights are so lonely as a battleship sails through the deep. In our hammocks we lie thinking, if only there were girls to sing us to sleep.
What?
We got a flock of cuties in every port, an overflow of beauties. We're never short of women young and old. We know every sort, but dames at sea.
That time that Scotch last winked, I stumbled and fell.
A sweetie in Paris, a swell of a bell. But when the ocean's raging, we miss like hell those dames at sea. We get so frantic, girls we left on the shore.
In the Adriatic, when things get static, we'd love to have a matey with a name like Sal or Satan.
Billy's a nice guy, Vic, he's really a pal.
Like he's my best friend, but he ain't no gal.
We need some frilly skirts to boost our morale. Some dames at sea. With great elation, we serve our nation. This Navy life would be grand with some beautiful, luscious, lovely dames at sea.
Dames at Sea. This is a Busby Berkeley-style musical, but it's not from that era, is it? It's not from the 30s and 40s.
No, so it was actually written in the late 60s, and then
it's such a retro feel to it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's originally, like, if you go on Wikipedia and you look it up, it will say that it's a parody of the 20s style and 30s style shows, but And it really is almost song for song a direct, like, I guess, play off of 42nd Street.
Okay.
Basically, every song in 42nd Street has an equivalent in this show. Like, there's a money-based song and a dames song and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And so there's always something that's correlating back to them. But I've talked a lot with different people in the cast, and it feels much more like a love letter to those kind of musicals and not okay. a parody, as Wikipedia says.
Interesting way to put that.
Right. Like, it's a very loving...
like an homage.
Yeah, an homage. Okay. Like, it's very tongue-in-cheek, like, oh, like, isn't this ridiculous? But it's still, it's not making fun of those types of musicals mm-hmm. in, like, a malicious way.
Yeah, World War II era had a lot of musicals that came out, mm-hmm. and I think it was because America needed to smile and laugh at that time.
Exactly.
I've had a few history experts, and we've covered different aspects of that era, and they said that it was the musicals and it was the big bands that really won the war for us, because it kept the attitude up, it kept the spirit
morale.
Up. Yeah, yeah, the morale. So interesting stuff. I'm Tom Lounges. This is Midwest Beat on Lakeshore Public Radio. And Todd Allworm is my guest, and he is the lead. What role do you play?
I play Dick.
Dick, okay. You play Dick at Theater at the Center, and that's going right now. It's already running, correct?
Yeah, since May 2nd, and we go through June 2nd.
Weekends or?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Todd, you're from Crown Point. You are a resident born and raised here?
Born and raised in Crown Point, but now I live in Chicago.
Okay. Yeah. Fine, you left us. That's right. See, you get a break and you leave, like everybody. Tell me a little bit about how you got into theater. You're relatively young. You look like you are still in college. You graduated.
I graduated.
I think everybody looks young compared to me. But basically, you went to Crown Point. You graduated when?
2012.
2000. Well, it was just a few years ago.
Yeah.
And where'd you go to college?
Indiana University.
Bloomington?
Yep.
Okay. Good theater department down there.
Yeah. It was great.
I took theater at IUN Northwest with Garrett Cope was my instructor. He recently passed away, I guess. But he was he really made me not realize that I was not called for the stage.
Oh, no. That's not good.
But I work behind the scenes. So I do things like that. But he made me play Little Lord Fauntleroy once. My first thing, actually. I wanted to be James Dean or Marlon Brando, and he made me Little Lord Fauntleroy. Took the wind right out of my sails, I was not very prone for theater after that. But IU Bloomington has a great theater department. So.
Yeah.
Did you go for theater when you went there?
Yeah, I got a BFA in musical theater.
Okay. So why theater? When did the theater bug bite? When did you say, you know, this might be fun?
Well, my first exposure to it was from a local woman, Linda Skidmore. She came into my second grade classroom and said, "Hey, does anyone want to do a musical?" And I had no idea what that meant.
But was she an instructor there?
No. She just came in. She was doing. She had her own studio,
and
she was reaching out to local schools and just young people in general in the area to see if people would be interested in doing a musical. And I had no idea what that meant, but I decided to do it anyway. And I was pretty pretty quiet and shy growing up, and so that was like took me out of my comfort zone a little bit. And then after that, I didn't do a whole lot of theater until high school, and I started doing a lot of community theater and shows at Crown Point High School, so it was just the combo of that.
Who was your director? Who instructed at Crown Point?
Kit Dagenhart.
Okay. Still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe he's listening.
Yeah. He actually saw the show opening night.
Okay.
So it was cool to reconnect.
So why the delay between second grade and high school? Did you not have a bad experience in second grade?
Oh, no, it was great. I loved Linda, and she actually was my voice teacher for a little while. But I joined orchestra in fourth grade, and I started choir in sixth grade, and I started tapping in eighth grade. But I didn't put all of those things together until I got to high school, and I was like, oh, musical theater does all of those things.
Mm-hmm. So you take it all and you become kind of a Renaissance man then. You get to do it all.
Yeah, exactly.
What is
Jack
your
of all trades.
Favorite aspect of doing that kind of theater? What is your favorite part? The singing, the dancing, the acting?
It's funny because I found that growing up, whenever I got bored or irritated with a certain aspect of it, I would just move to the next one over.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that it has constantly been changing. I think singing is probably my oldest love. Out of the singing, dancing, acting trifecta.
Okay.
But I still there's just so much joy and a different joy that you find with dancing and with acting that you don't always get from just singing with like no context, just like straight up singing. There's a different joy that you get when you're combining them all or doing them each individually.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I fluctuate between all of them, but singing is probably my go-to.
What made you take tap? A tap is almost a lost art.
Right.
You know, the last celebrity tap dancer that I can remember that I actually had a chance to interview was Gregory Hines.
Yeah.
It's been years.
I can't remember who. Well, I guess a lot of my friends in orchestra did dance at Indiana Ballet Theater,
mm-hmm.
Which is actually, it used to be just down the street from here. I used to take dance classes like in a studio, like just down the street here.
Okay.
And, but now they moved to, I don't even know what the building is, but they just renovated this old like nurse's home. And now it's like full of dance and arts.
Is that in Crown Point now?
Yeah, I think it's like right on the border.
Right on Taft Street there, isn't it?
It's on Main Street. And,
okay.
Oh, I haven't been here in so long. I'm forgetting all the street names, but like 90 something. It's right next to the courthouse.
Okay. So, that is Taft. That's 55, I think. I think it's 55 off of Broadway. Anyway, you don't know.
I'm gonna dig myself a hole if I try to come up.
But
with
it's a new facility that they just renovated.
Exactly.
And now it's a new home there.
So anyway, a lot of the people that I did orchestra with mm-hmm. also did dance, ironically, and they all took dance at IBT. And so I don't know. I don't know why I chose tap or like what brought me into that. But I was like, I'm gonna start tap. And so I was tapping with all my friends, and then I got kind of pulled into like the Nutcracker and stuff like that because they always need guys and all the other dances and stuff like that. So I started getting exposure to a lot of different dance forms that way.
Now, when I was in school, the arts drew primarily the women. The guys mm-hmm. were all into the sports stuff. But, of course, a lot of us weren't jocks.
Yeah.
So that's why I went into the arts for a while. And did you find that being a male in the arts allowed you to have more choices in roles because there was less competition?
Yeah. I mean, there's a definite disparity in competition between males and females mm-hmm. for the arts. The girls definitely had it harder.
Right.
Because many more girls are drawn to that. But I would say that as you start getting farther into the professional world,
it balances out.
I don't think it'll ever balance out completely.
Okay.
But it definitely, you start to feel more of the pressure of, oh, I'm not the one guy.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm not the only one here.
Yeah.
Okay.
You start to realize that like, oh, everyone in the professional field was that one guy. And then now, like, you're competing against all of these,
mm-hmm.
those one guys from all these different places. So that actually, I think just being in the professional world, it gives you much more of a reality check of, like, yeah, it's easier for guys, but it's still a profession, and it's still competitive.
I've seen in talking to different guests over the years recently that it seems to balance out a little bit more these days because of things like Glee and all these different mm-hmm. youth-minded. I mean, back in the day, it was the old fogey kind of Broadway stuff.
Yeah.
In the late 60s and 70s, probably the 70s more so, we started seeing more of a youth culture come into the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the 80s, it really exploded. So I've seen more men going into the arts, and that's your era. So
yeah, no, it's I have a lot of guy friends mm-hmm. in musical theater. I guess I don't have I don't have much context because this is all I've known.
Right.
But
this is your life.
Yeah, this is my life. But I do feel like I always try to keep some perspective though.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I know that I have a lot of competition, I always know that my girl equivalents in my same age group
have more.
They will always have more.
You're listening to Midwest Beat on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM and streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. We're talking about Dames at Sea. Todd Allworm from Crown Point, now of Chicago, he's left us, is the lead as Dick in this production. And why was Dames at Sea appealing to you? Why did you audition for this?
My roommate actually was like, hey, do you want to go out to Dames at Sea audition? And I originally was like, oh, Dames at Sea, I don't know. Like, I don't even know what that is, but I can gather that it's like 42nd Street or Anything mm-hmm. Goes or things like that, both shows that I've done before. And I was like, I want to do something new, something edgy. And But I decided to audition anyway, and I ended up getting the role. And my mom was so happy because she always every time she sees me in a show, she's like, oh, like, that was great. But you know that one time when you're in Anything Goes and you were singing that one song, it's like she always brings it back to, like, she really loves my voice in this certain style, in this, like, croonery kind of, like, jazz era kind of sound. And I, this has been very fun for me. I wasn't expecting to get it. And once I did, I really embraced it.
Was there a lot of competition for that role?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say, like, I mean, I don't see everyone that auditioned for it, because usually
it's not like an open call.
For this one, oh, where was that originally? I think my first audition for it was in the city.
Okay.
But I can't remember where. I don't know. I can't remember what that room was like. But, yeah, I mean, well, when you're in the waiting room, it's like you don't see everyone there because... Like,
can you hear and you get a feel for who's making it and who's not?
Not necessarily who's making it, but who... You could definitely hear them.
Yeah.
There's always that time when you, like, you're sitting in the waiting room and you hear someone hit a really high note and you're like, oh, that, they did that.
Okay. Now, Linda Fortunato has been on the show many times. She's directed so many things over there and everywhere. She's an award-winning director, producer. Is this your first time working with Linda?
Yeah. And I...
What's your thoughts on her?
I absolutely love her. I think she's one of my favorite directors that I've ever had, ever. She's just such a warm and considerate director. There's so many times when you get notes from directors during rehearsals or during shows, and they say, this was wrong, this was wrong, this is wrong.
Like written critiques?
Make this better. It's always critiques.
Okay.
And for her, while she still gives critiques, there's always an element of yes and notes, which are basically like, you did this really well,
but.
And on top of this.
Okay.
It's not a but, though.
Okay.
It's an and. It's there. I love the way that you're doing this. Now let's add this on top of it. And that is something that feels... It feels like that shouldn't be a new thing to me, but it is, unfortunately. But I just, yeah, I love her directing style. It really rewards you for your choices, or she rewards you for your choices that you make as an actor, and she works with you instead of having a set thing or not telling you anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
There's two polar opposite sides of that. You know, as a director, you could either have a vice grip on the creative side of it, and basically the actors are no longer actors. They're like puppets.
Okay.
Or like machines. Or you give nothing, and then the actor feels like they're just drowning in their own creative energies because, like, they have no idea what's right or wrong. They have no idea what this looks like. And so I think the beautiful in-between is saying, I love what you're doing. Now tweak it this way. I think it would be more effective if you added this. Like, that's the kind of directing that I think is the most effective. And this is one of the first times I have really seen it executed in such a wonderful way as Linda does.
When you're doing a role that's well known, as this one obviously is, although I'm not that familiar with it, it's been around a while, it's won awards. How do you bring your own perspective, your own fingerprints on this role? What makes your portrayal of Dick in this production different than other actors over the years in other continents and other theaters?
Yeah, I think for characters like in Addams Family or something like that, where you have a bunch of characters that people know from television and you are just recreating that character on stage, that's hard. That's like you are put into a little bit of a bubble and a little bit of a cage for what you can do creatively, because you still have to stay within the world of that character that people know.
Right.
But for Dick, because he's not on that level of notoriety, I feel like I have much more license to bring myself to the character. And so I find that my portrayal of Dick my whole mission for this character has been to be as genuine as possible, though it's at very ridiculous and goofy throughout the entire show. And there's a lot of insane things that happen that just would never happen in reality.
Mm-hmm.
The whole root of, we've talked about this a lot in rehearsals, that a lot of the root of the comedy is not playing into the ridiculousness of the situations, but just making it so painfully genuine that you really do believe that this is going to happen and this is all going to go great. And and so
that optimism there.
Yeah, just like, yeah. That optimism and that genuine personality
uh-huh.
is, I think, what I bring to this character.
Is there a lot of him in you and you in him? When you read this role, did you say, that's kind of, there's a lot of similarities.
Yeah, I mean, Dick's a songwriter, and so am I. I really enjoy writing music, and like when I, I'm not actually, plot spoiler, I'm not actually playing the piano while I'm on stage. But I do play piano a couple times in the show, mm-hmm. like fake playing, and I have had comments being like, oh, your piano playing is so good. And I was like, well, it's not, I'm not actually
playing. Do you play it all, though?
But I do, yeah. Okay. So that it helps.
You're just not playing in the show.
Right, exactly. Okay. So I kind of embraced that part of it, that, okay. like, if someone I really embrace that part where I'm listening to someone sing one of my songs and I'm accompanying them, and I know that feeling, and it feels so good. So, like, that's something that I really connect with. This character on is listening to people sing your songs. That mm-hmm. is something that is just, there's nothing like it.
All right. Speaking of songs, let's play one from the cast. This is the actual Theater at the Center cast. We're going to give you a short one here. It's basically, I think, the title track, Dames at Sea, where the girls are all singing about why they want to date sailors.
Yeah. So. Why they're going to why they're going to be in the Navy.
Why they're going to be in the Navy. All right. Dames at Sea is playing right now through June 2nd.
Second.
At Theater at the Center, 1040 Ridge Road. Linda Fortunato directing. A great venue. Great sight lines. We're going to talk about the fact that this is Todd's first time at that theater in just a few minutes. He's not going anywhere, so you don't go anywhere either. Keep it right here at 89.1 FM, and let's enjoy the cast.
I'd like a sailor boy, a seaman who is thoughtful and sweet.
Give me a boatswain's mate, a cop will sweep me right off my feet.
You take the boys, my dear, I'll take the man in charge of the fleet.
Dear Dave.
Go crazy when we hit Nice. We'd fight another war for freedom and peace. And James at sea, with firm decision and steady vision, we'll carry on for our land.
All we want is babies on our knees. We can kiss and cuddle constantly. Just some beautiful, luscious, lovely James at sea.
At sea. That's a throwback term itself. Dames. You don't hear that very often anymore.
Yeah, it's probably for the best.
Yeah. It is. How do you get that kind of response when you say dames or broads or any of these old terms that used to be PC mm-hmm. or used to be common but now are no longer PC in today's world, and rightfully so. Do people get it that it's a nostalgic throwback? Or do people are they offended by it?
Yeah, in general, I think that people are pretty understanding of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially because it is in this era that all of this terminology, is not in, it's not malicious. Mm-hmm. It's not with ill intent. It genuinely was very
acceptable
at the time. Yeah. And especially
even
because,
the ladies are singing, we're dames.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think like it's pretty hard to remove that from the title of the show.
Right.
As well.
I guess you're right.
So it's
there.
Hard to escape that.
Wow. Dames at Sea is playing at Theater at the Center, 1040 Ridge Road in Munster. And again, it's a beautiful venue. It's playing weekends through June 2nd. You can get information at theateratthecenter.com. And that's theater, R-E, not E-R, theateratthecenter.com. Go there to get your tickets and more information. My guest is Todd Allworm. He is the lead in Dames at Sea, which is playing at Theater at the Center. And this, you were telling me off air, is your first time performing there. Now, you went there as a student in Crown Point, but now you're on the stage. Just let me throw you back to your teenage self, and you're watching a show there. And could you ever have thought, I'm going to play here?
I didn't think specifically I'm going to play here, but I was watching the people on stage, and I think that was, I think it was a moment of, I can do this, and that's what I want to do. Like, that was the attitude that I had. You know, when I saw, when I've seen shows at professional theaters, I didn't think, oh, I will be on that stage specifically, but I did think to myself, I can do that. And I can work with all of those people. That was my mindset.
Okay. Now you're there. You're there where the teenage self was in the audience watching. What's the experience like to be able to play? And again, a lot of people don't realize that even though it's Northwest Indiana, this is not community theater. This is an equity room, which means it's all professionals.
Yeah.
So you've gone far past the High School Musical, the community theater thing.
Yeah.
You are living in Chicago. I imagine you have your card.
Actually, no. I'm one of the three non-equity people in the show. So there's
That's got to be a goal for you then.
Yeah. Well, in Chicago, it is a different ball game.
Okay.
Because when you are EMC, which is the Equity Membership Candidate program, so you have. You're kind of like union eligible, but
not quite.
You're not
yet.
Quite in the union, but okay. Because you have these certain number of points from the system, you get into more auditions and you get to be seen by more theaters. And because the Chicago theater scene is, while it does have a lot of equity opportunities, it also has a lot more non-equity opportunities.
Okay.
And once you become equity, once you join the actors union, you can't turn back. Like, so if I became union, I wouldn't be able to go back to any of those non-equity jobs.
So you're restricted on moving forward at that point.
I guess it would be restricted on moving laterally.
Okay.
So I would have to continue working at Equity Theaters for the rest of the time that I have my card, with very few exceptions.
So if a choice role came up or a friend of yours is directing a community play and says, hey, you know, Todd, would you want to do this? You would have to say no.
Yeah, legally it would be like frowned upon by the union because I would be accepting work for less pay than the union says I should.
Okay, well, that's kind of a double-sided sword then.
It is. And it's tricky. When you're in New York, you definitely need your card.
Okay.
Like, that's like an immediate thing. You just will not be seen at auditions. And that's actually the strategic part of being in the EMC program is you get seen at auditions just after equity people, but before non-equity people.
Okay.
So you're in this like in-between area where you get treated like an equity member, treated as second to equity, but above any random person that comes off the street. And so that in Chicago, that really helps you out because I can get seen at most auditions that I go to.
Is it hard getting to that middle plateau? What's the criteria to go from what you were locally to now not quite equity, but in that middle interim?
Yeah, it really is like chance that you get recruited by an equity house.
Okay.
So Theater at the Center is an Equity house. They have this agreement with Equity that they will have a certain number of contracts and stuff like that. But for anyone that is a non-Equity contract, they can accumulate points for the EMC program, which is like what I'm in right now. And so as you're accumulating these points, all you need is 1 point, and it doesn't matter after that. So the person who has 50 points, or well, actually now it would be 25. They changed it recently. So the person who has 24 points and the person who has 1 are treated the exact same. All you need is 1 point. And those points are accumulated by how many weeks you work at an Equity house.
Okay.
So right now I think I'm getting like five or six Equity points or EMC points from this show alone. And so it is actually a dangerous thing because suddenly you're getting really dangerously close to 25, which is when you have to join the union.
Okay.
And you have the ability to defer one time, and then after that, they're going to force you to join the union because you keep benefiting from being EMC.
Right.
And so that's like a dangerous trap because you're constantly like, you can't stay EMC forever. That's that wonderful little like, what is that called? Purgatory, where you're just like in between the two. You know, you don't have to commit to one or the other.
But at some point, you got to make your mind up.
Yeah, if you do really well as EMC, then you're forced to be a part of the union.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's got to be the ultimate goal at some point.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it definitely is. It's just like right now because I'm so young.
Mm-hmm. See, I told you were young.
Yeah, yeah. And especially in the scope of theater, like I'm right at this age where it's good and bad to be Equity because I would be turning down a lot of shows, that I have lined up that pay well, but they're just not Equity or they don't get me points.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be able to take them anymore. And a lot of things like just like personal like passion projects that I would have, like roles that I've always wanted to do, but it's at a place that doesn't pay as well, and it's not Equity. So it's just like that. It will eventually be the goal. Like I'm very close to being forced into it. So it's I'm very close in points wise.
You mentioned that you weren't super familiar with Dames at Sea. You weren't familiar with the character of Dick, but that you have come to embrace this character because there's so many similarities. What are some of the favorite roles you have played that we would know in the past?
Oh yeah. I would say like right at the top of my head, Marius in Les Mis. He's one of my favorite characters that I've played just because the music from that show is just so beautiful. I did that in Crown Point High School in my sophomore year, and that was just like such a memorable.
That seems like a very big production for a high school to do.
Yeah, I honestly think we did a really good job. Like even looking back on it, I was like, a lot of the people who are leads in that show are now doing professional work, like in New York. And in Chicago. So, like, it really felt like the caliber of people, even though we are high schoolers, we all went off and are now, or not all of us, but a surprising number of us ended up doing professional theater after high school. So, I don't know. It was a pretty good production. I would say other ones would be Scuttle in Little Mermaid. I did that at a summer stock theater in Colorado. That was really fun. Scuttle's the seagull from Little Mermaid, and that's a ridiculous character, and he has a tap number too. So I've gotten to use my tap skills a lot in a lot of different shows.
Okay. That's got to be kind of difficult. How do you play a seagull?
Right. Well, you got to squawk a lot. That was the...
I remember in fifth grade, my first theater production, I was the Blue Ox in Paul Bunyan.
Right, and how do you play a blue ox?
I didn't do anything. I just kind of ambled along, and he put me in a blue jumpsuit.
Yep.
With horns. Yeah, I had horns.
That sounds about right.
And I'm like, this is not that much fun. You know, I'm just... Anyway. Yeah.
Well, oxes probably don't have a lot of fun either.
They probably don't.
You know, you're probably really into
seagulls seem cooler.
Yeah.
They get to fly and eat fish, and ox just pull wagons.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your cast. You've got some lovely ladies here in Dames at Sea, and it looks like it's just the core four here is the main cast, but you look at some of the pictures, there's a larger cast in the ensemble dance numbers and things.
There's actually just six of us.
Really?
So it's...
It looks quite large in this one.
Me and the three girls that you see in the picture, and okay. Then we also have the captain and Lucky, who is Dick's best friend.
Okay.
So there's like... two sailors, a captain, and then the three girls, and I absolutely love my cast. It's like it was so crazy when I got cast in this, and I found out who the rest of the cast was because mm-hmm. I was looking at everyone else's resumes, and it was like Goodman, Steppenwolf, Marriott, Paramount, Drury Lane, Looking Glass, like all of these places that are huge in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
Like. Kelly, who plays Ruby opposite of me, is leaving this Sunday. She's not doing the rest of the show because she's doing Music Man at the Goodman.
So who's filling in for her?
So we actually have it was all like prearranged. We
okay.
all knew going into this that Ashley Lanyon would come in and replace Kelly Felthouse as Ruby. And so even in our programs, it says, like, Ashley Lanyon, she's in our programs, like,
okay.
as one of the characters, but she won't be Ruby until this next Wednesday.
Okay. So have you rehearsed with her, too?
Not yet, no.
Okay. So, interesting.
Yeah, I just met her a couple days ago, and I'm going to rehearse with her on Sunday, and then we do a show on Wednesday.
It's interesting. I just noticed that there's a blonde, brunette, and redhead.
Mm-hmm.
You have one of all flavors.
Yep, yeah.
It's like Neapolitan ice cream.
Yeah.
Interesting. Tell me a little bit about, is this the first time you've worked with all of these cast members or some of these old friends? Or
I have never worked with anyone in this cast.
Okay.
I knew Sierra a little bit just
is
from...
Is this Sierra here?
Yeah, she's
okay.
The brunette. I knew her a little bit just from mutual friends. We're around the same age, and I'm friends with a lot of girls that, or a lot of people that she went to school with at Roosevelt. And so I have probably over like 70 mutual friends with each of these people,
mm-hmm.
but we have not personally met. Yeah.
What's it like? The community of theater, if you will.
Yeah.
I see working with the rock bands, there's a lot of jealousies, a lot of backstabbing, mm-hmm. a lot of trying to take someone's gig. With theater, is it as cutthroat as we sometimes see in behind the scenes in movies and things, or The Black Swan, or any of that kind of stuff? Or,
no.
You know, or is there more of a community camaraderie and support group?
I would say the thing that drew me to Chicago is its community.
Okay.
It is very much a family. Whereas New York is much more of a constant flux.
Okay.
I mean, yes, you do have to like make a name for yourself and pay your dues and stuff like that. But there's definitely more of a loving just community that we have in Chicago that I was really, really drawn to. I would say that in general, the worst that you really get is just – more like passive stuff, like I could have done that better, like
okay.
that kind of stuff. But no one's like actively trying to like push someone downstairs or stuff like that to get the role, you know. the drama isn't that high.
Okay,
it's everyone is. I would say for the most part, people try to be very very happy for each other and the work that they get, because we all know how hard it is. As an actor, you know?
Right. There's a lot of work to it. You know, people think, oh, he's just an actor. I mean, you go up and play roles. The memorization is what baffles me.
Mm.
I never could memorize. And if it's improvisational and they say, here's three things you need to do, go improvise. I can create on the spot.
Right.
But to learn someone's words and to do justice to someone else's story and live up to the previous actors who've played that role, that's a lot of weight on your shoulders.
Yeah, I would say that being able to do improv is its own art form, you know? Like that is not something
I wouldn't say it's easy, but it's easier, I think, to be able to create yourself because you know your own head,
yeah.
as opposed to try to get into the head of somebody else's character, some other writer, some director.
Right. I
that's rough.
A lot of times at talkbacks after a show, a joke that we like kind of as actors know, like we know that the question is coming, like, how do you memorize all those lines?
Because mm-hmm.
That's what everyone wants to know. And it's kind of like you just do it. You kind of know you have to memorize all of this
mm-hmm.
By, you know, like a week into rehearsal, like, or if not like weeks before, but at latest you need to know it before you are cleaning things, you know? And yeah, you sit down and you drill like all of the lines constantly. Like oftentimes what I do is I record all of my lines and listen to them, like listen to the sequence of words so that I don't paraphrase specifically, because that was something I was really notorious for in high school, was I would say basically the exact same intention of the line, but
in your own words,
not say one of the words on the page. Like I will just completely paraphrase the entire sentence or entire paragraphs.
Okay.
I might do it out of order, but I'll eventually cover everything with my own words. Now I am much better. And
I would think that they would frown upon that.
Oh, definitely, definitely. When we get line notes in rehearsals, uh-huh. and I remember I was so proud. My first line note after a run, or like we get a piece of paper with our name, our character, and then the line that you messed up and what was wrong with it. So it would say like paraphrasing or missed words or added words, things like that. And I only got one. My first run through, and I was like, I'm like, I've officially gone past that paraphrasing stage of my life, and I was almost word perfect.
Wow.
In rehearsals, that was something that was a really a big personal victory for myself, because I was really bad at it before.
Now it's got to be even more mind boggling. We mentioned Kelly is leaving and taking on Music Man.
Yeah.
Now she's got all the lines in her head for this,
mm-hmm.
but she's going to turn around and have to do Music Man. So she's got two complete different musicals in her head that she has to know.
Yeah.
Have you had that situation?
I've done a lot of summer stock, which is, well, I'll be like shipped out to some city in the middle of nowhere usually, and we'll be doing theater. So like I did Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan, Illinois, and Rocky Mountain Repertory Theater in Grand Lake, Colorado. And for both of those, actually, in Grand Lake, Rocky Mountain is that is a repertory theater, and what that means is we will start rehearsals when we first get there. So like actually, like in a couple weeks, Rocky Mountain is going to call all their actors in, and they're going to rehearse for a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, no, a 1 week. And then put up the show. And then while that show is running, they're rehearsing for the second show during the day. So they're doing one show at night. So
different pieces.
Different shows entirely. Okay. So I did 42nd Street my first year. So 42nd Street, we rehearsed for a week, then we put it up. And then while 42nd Street is running at night, we were rehearsing for Adam's Family during the day. And so, and then Adam's
Family. And you were in both?
And I was in both.
Oh,
all of us are in both. So then Adam's Family opens on like a Friday or something like that. And then we alternate. So Friday is Adam's Family, but Saturday is 42nd Street. And then we do that for a week while we're rehearsing for, what was the other one? All Shook Up. And so during the day we're rehearsing All Shook Up while we're doing the other two shows rotating at night. And then once all three of the shows are open, the whole summer, someone could come at any point for 3 days and see all three shows in 3 days.
Wow.
On the same stage with the same actors.
My brain would be pudding. It would.
So that I've done that 2 years. So I had in Rocky Mountain, I've had six shows in my head. And then in Little Theater on the Square, it was a different, that was a stock theater. So you would do Beauty and the Beast first, and so you do 2 weeks of rehearsing, and then a week of or 2 weeks of
performing.
Beauty and the Beast. And while you're performing Beauty and the Beast, then you're rehearsing for Thoroughly Modern Millie, and then you put up Thoroughly Modern Millie as Beauty and the Beast closes. So once Beauty and the Beast is closed, it's out of your brain entirely. Then you start rehearsals for Smokey Joe's Cafe, and then you're doing Thoroughly Modern Millie at night, and then you do the next show. Like it's It's
intense. I have a whole new respect for your profession. Wow.
But that's like that is a what is that? A rite of passage.
Okay. To be able to do that?
To be able to do that.
When were you first able to do that? How long ago?
The first summer that I did that was 2015, so a couple years after I graduated from high school.
Wow. Amazing. We are talking with an amazing young man, obviously, Todd Allworm, and he is playing the role of Dick in Dames at Sea, which is running now at Theater at the Center, 1040 Ridge Road in Munster, Indiana. It runs through June 2nd. Todd is a resident originally from Crown Point, a native of Crown Point, now living in Chicago. And we're going to play another song before we say goodbye. Actually, we'll wait on that song for a moment. I do want to touch briefly. You mentioned about being a songwriter.
Right. Yeah.
And apart from all the theater and things that you do, tell me about your songs, your songwriting, and your goals with that.
Right. So my thing is that I sing and play the cello. That's the thing that I do.
Okay.
So I write music for cello and voice at the same time. So I'm, I have a couple things on my website.
So is it chamber music style or what do you write?
It's more, the stuff that I write is usually more pop, almost slightly musical theater, more story based.
Okay.
I would say that I was thinking about who would listen to this music, and I was thinking Ben Folds fans
okay.
would be interested, people who like the storytelling of Ben Folds or things like that, that is sort of like, he takes you on a journey when he writes songs. Mm-hmm. There's a musical hook that you really love, but there's also some sort of message behind it, and that's what I really try to focus on in all of my music. But you can go online to my website, toddallworm.com, and
you have your stuff up there.
Yeah. So you can listen to some of my stuff.
So you're performing on cello. You're mm-hmm. writing the word. Are you singing it as well?
Yeah.
Okay. Now you mentioned piano earlier. You also adding piano to any of this?
Yeah. I do write for piano. So I do like sing and play piano.
So what's the ultimate goal with this? I mean, obviously you want to pursue theater. You're very good at it, obviously. Do you want to get a recording side career and become Michael Bublé or something? I mean,
that would be cool. I think that is definitely something that interests me. Not necessarily right now.
Mm-hmm.
I do like musical theater a little too much, but I actually, I just signed my contract, so I feel like I'm able to say this. I'm going on the national tour of Once, and Once is a show that has all acting musicians, and so I'm going to be singing and playing my cello and guitar in the show.
Any of your original music, or is it
no original your music? So it is a musical, a standalone musical. It won the Tony Award for Best Musical in 2012.
Okay.
It's an incredible musical. You should listen to it. But yeah, I'll be on the national tour of that starting in August.
Wow.
So I'll be gone through March.
Well, we definitely got to keep up with you. That's Todd with two D's, Allworm, AllWurm. Todd Allworm and .com?
Yeah.
All right, we got to check that out. What's next after Dames at Sea and before you go on Once?
So I kind of have the summer like open, and so I can see like a bunch of stuff that I really want to see. So
okay.
Yo-Yo Ma is coming to Chicago.
So you get to be a fanboy for a while.
Yeah, I get to be a fanboy for the summer. And I finally get to spend a summer in Chicago because I've been here for 3 winters and 0 summers. So that's been pretty brutal because everyone talks about, Chicago summer. Chicago summer is
They're
amazing.
They're pretty hot sometimes.
Yeah, but it gets pretty cold too, so
that's
I don't know which one's worse.
That's true. All right.
So I'll have the summer free and then I'll go on tour.
Let's close with the final song here from the cast at Theater at the Center. And tell me a little bit. I think the title is Good Times Are Here to Stay.
Yeah.
Are you featured in this? It sounds like there's male voices in there toward the end.
Yeah.
So this is full cast?
Yeah, this is full cast. I don't think I say anything by myself. Oh, yeah. I sing like one little line by myself. But ultimately, I'm singing throughout the whole thing just as backup. But this is when we're all like trying to get our hopes up and like really like, okay, we have a plan. Like things were going bad before, but now we're going to save the day.
Okay. All right, kind of like Underdog.
Yeah.
All right, this is the cast of Theater at the Center, and you can get tickets at theateratthecenter.com. And again, that's theater, R-E, not E-R, at 1040 Ridge Road. It's a beautiful facility, about 410 seats. Parking is always free. There is a cash bar, and for the theater and musical fans, it's great because no matter where you're at, the audio is great, the acoustics are great, and the sight lines are great. It's like a three-quarter, I guess you'd say, in the round.
Yeah.
And I just love going to shows there.
Yeah.
And I think that people are going to enjoy seeing Dames at Sea. All right, we're going to play it. This is Good Times Are Here to Stay. Thank you, Todd, for joining us.
Yeah, thanks.
All righty.
Just wait till the rain goes to follow the rainbows. Climb out of that wet, muddy clay. You'll find out that living's a thing of good cheer. Good times are here to stay.
Why fuss about money when outside it's sunny and kitties are singing at play?
Just toss him some coins as you shout, Santa's here. Good times are here to stay.
Don't smother with curses when heading reverses and take.
Fear is fear itself.
Good times.